we should get going. We're missing just one committee member, Rick Robbins, and he is on his way. His flight got in at about 20 minutes ago, so hopefully we'll see him soon. And for the record, this is a meeting of the New England Fishery Management Council's Scallop Committee. Our task before us this fall is to set specifications for 2013-14 and some default measures for 15. Perhaps we could go around the table and just do quick introductions. Emily, we want to start at your end.
I'm Emily Gilbert with the National Marine Fisheries Service.
Pete Christopher with the National Marine Fisheries Service.
David Pierce, Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries.
Mark Alexander, Connecticut Marine Fisheries Division.
Mary Beth Tooley, Council Member for Maine.
Dave Preble, New England Fishery Management Council.
Erlingberg, Mid Atlantic Council.
Laura Ramston, representing Massachusetts for the New England Fishery Management Council.
Tom Dempsey, also with the New England Council for Massachusetts.
Okay, thank you, everyone. That was a good introduction, and check the mics and see which ones are working well and which ones are not. So I'm going to turn it over to Deirdre. She has some presentations, and I'd also like to point out that yesterday our Scallop AP met, and everyone should have a list of motions that came from that meeting. Thankfully, I was able to attend most of it, and we do have our AP Chair, Bill Wells, with us. So if any questions come up relative to their discussions, hopefully Bill can speak to that. And we will be trying to incorporate these motions into our day as our agenda moves forward. And with that, I will turn it over to Deirdre.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I'm Deirdre Bulkey with the Scallop PDT. I have a kind of an overview presentation to start with this morning, and I've given it three times in the last 24 hours, so I apologize for people that have heard it a couple times. I'm trying to just set the stage for the committee in terms of where we are with the resource. We had a lot of surveys this summer, some updated information about the status of this resource, and that leads us right into setting up what it looks like for the next few years for this framework. So the scallop fishery, as I've mentioned, is very fortunate. It's a very data-rich assessment. We have a variety of different surveys that go into the work and assessment of this resource. Starting with the federal survey, there has been a federal dredge scallop survey since 1979, conducted most recently on three different legs, covering the entire resource from Georgia's Bank down through Virginia, North Carolina. And in the last few years, there's been in addition with an optical survey, which is now being called the Seahorse, which is an optical camera towed behind the federal vessel. So this is the first year, 2012, where the optical component of the federal survey was conducted on all three legs of the survey. In addition, we have the SMAS video, which has been going on for quite some time. In 2012, this research team covered also the entire scallop resource, Georgia's Bank, including the Mid-Atlantic, on what they call their broad-scale survey every 3 nautical miles. In addition, SMAST also went into Closed Area 1 and Elephant Trunk on a more intensive type of survey every 1.5 nautical miles. In addition, we have the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, which is a paired dredge survey using a commercial dredge on one side and a survey dredge on the other. This research team was able to conduct surveys in Delmarva, Hudson Canyon, Nantucket Lightship. Those are all three potential access areas that this plan's using, as well as an additional survey of Closed Area 2 North, which would include the Cod HAPC and waters to the west, which are kind of more traditional scallop grounds on the northern part of Closed Area 2. We haven't really had an intensive survey of that area in quite some time. In addition, this group did some additional surveys in the inshore area of the New York Bight, a little bit further inshore than the federal survey traditionally covers. Finally, HABCAM is a research team with Woods Hole and Arnie's Fisheries, and they did an intensive survey of Closed Area 2 South. So combining all of these surveys, really we hit everything this year. We had a lot of different types of survey technology combined all together. The scallop plan development team, most of these surveys occurred in May and June and July. The plan development team met in August, reviewed the results of all of these different survey methods, and came up with some combined biomass estimates that I'll get into next.
Just have a question. Is Seahorse the Science Center's version of the HABCAM?
It is. They've adjusted the name, I think, to reflect that they've added another camera, so it sort of has extended the shape of the technology to be more like a seahorse, but it is. It's their version of HABCAM, which HABCAM version 4 is synonymous with seahorse, I think. It has that new shape, so that's its new name. So the Georges Bank figures are on the board. There is a lot more of information in document number 5, which was copied for you with additional background on the status of this resource, but I'm going to just hit on the high points. That document includes really what we do in every framework in terms of summary information about the resource and the fishery, so when you have time, thumb through it. Georges Bank is the figure on the top. As you can see, this is a combined image of the federal survey, the dredge survey, combined with the VIMS dredge survey. So all of these points combine those two survey sources of information. So you can see VIMS, they were in Nantucket Lightship as well as Closed Area 2 North. That's why those were hit in a more intense sampling grid. But combined, you can see the points with the larger circles are kilograms per tow. So it's you can get a sense of, you know, where the resource actually is. Same thing for the SMAST video survey is the figure on the bottom. This is abundance. Just make sure you appreciate the difference there. That's the number of scallops per station, so not as much of a reflection of size of the scallops, but in a very similar way, highlighting, you know, similar areas in terms of where the scallops actually are on Georges Bank. Then we move to the Mid-Atlantic. SMAST abundance surveys on the left, numbers of scallops per station, and the Mid-Atlantic dredge survey information is the figure on the right. A lot of this, I had some questions in previous times I've given this presentation. A lot of the resource in the Mid-Atlantic is small scallops. You can see that a little bit reflected in the size of some of these, but there's a lot of small scallops, so it's kind of hard to compare to the slides before. On Georges Bank, there's definitely more exploitable, larger scallops than in the Mid-Atlantic right now is a lot of recruitment, which is the next slide. Will give you a better sense of that. This is basically recruitment information from, again, the Federal Dredge Survey combined with the VIMS Dredge Survey. And we have this for all the surveys. I just didn't want to make it too long. The Mid-Atlantic is very promising. There was very strong recruitment throughout the range in Hudson Canyon, Elephant Trunk, as well as Delmarva. This is very exciting. There's good things going on in the Mid-Atlantic. But these scallops will not be ready to be harvested until 2015 at best, and definitely 2016. So good things are coming. Georges Bank recruitment is the opposite. It's very poor recruitment. You can hardly see the dots on the screen. Really not a lot of going on in terms of recruitment on Georges Bank. PDT's discussed this. It's definitely cyclical on Georges Bank. It's not raising major alarms. We are in kind of the downward 7-year cycle for recruitment on Georges Bank. We had a really good recruitment on Georges Bank for a few years ago, and so now we're kind of on the bottom, and you would expect a couple years from now that would go back up. But this is sort of the picture for recruitment based on the surveys this year. Combining all that stuff together and comparing it, historically, the Federal Biomass Survey Index has been declining over the last few years, particularly in the Mid-Atlantic. And the combined estimate from these surveys is 107,000 metric tons from all the surveys combined. Georges Bank on the top, Mid-Atlantic in the middle, and then the combined resources on the bottom in green. So we take the survey results and we put them in a model called the CASA model. This committee has had presentations about this model before, and it's been reviewed at several stock assessments. This is the way that the PDT assesses the resource's status. It estimates the realized F in biomass based on the most up-to-date information you can put in the model. So this year, the plan development team put in all of that 2012 dredge and video survey information that I just walked us through. We put that all in terms of the biomass information. We take the landings from the actual fishery for all of fishing year 2011, and we take 2012, and we do have to make an assumption about what the total will be and where it will be, because this fishing year is not over yet. So it is an assumption. And we assumed, after discussing it at the plan development team, that assuming the same level of catch for 2012 as 2011 was a good assumption in what we did. The only thing that we modified is based on the 2011 catch in terms of where it came from. For 2012, we're assuming that about 2,000 more metric tons will come out of Georges than the Mid-Atlantic. So the same amount total, but it's going to shift. We are expecting more Georges Bank effort this 2012 year than we saw in the past. When I went over this with the advisors yesterday, I saw a lot of people nodding their head, you know, that makes sense. More people are fishing on Georges this year, as you know, would expect. The biomass is better in that region. Certainly, definitely still Mid-Atlantic effort, no doubt, but it's skewed a little bit more toward Georges this time. So it's important to go through this so people understand this is the initial condition for this model and for this run. You have to make some assumptions about 2012. So the table there is basically your take home. Is overfishing occurring in this fishery? The answer is no. The biomass is the first row right there, and that lets you know if the stock is overfished or not. You can see a breakdown of the estimate of biomass from the model. The model is estimating that about 36,000 metric tons of biomass, this is total biomass, is in the Mid-Atlantic, and about 83,000 metric tons on Georges Bank, for a combined estimate of 119,000 metric tons. The reference point that we need to be above, basically, to make sure that the stock is not overfished, is 62,000 metric tons. So clearly, we're not in an overfished condition. The fishing mortality, to let you know if there's overfishing occurring in this fishery or not, we are also under the threshold of 0.38. The overall estimate is 0.34 right now for the 2012 estimate. You will notice a pretty high F in the Mid-Atlantic. PDT, you know, has concerns about this, and clearly it's not even with the Georges Bank fishing mortality. A lot of that is being driven by the fact that so much of the biomass is in the EFH closed areas, so that really brings down the Georges Bank total F. But in terms of legally whether we're overfishing, the answer is definitely no. I would note that the total fishing mortality estimate of 0.34 is above our target, is 0.32. So it's still fine, of course, but we are above the F related to our ABC is actually 0.32. So we are above that, but definitely not above the overfishing limit F. So these are just basically that table in figures. So the new CASA model is showing a declining biomass and increasing fishing mortality for the Mid-Atlantic. So you have biomass on the top, is kind of stable there overall, but you do see a divergence for Georges and Mid-Atlantic in terms of biomass. We would expect that curve for Mid-Atlantic to start turning upward again once those smaller scallops grow, but right now it's going downward. In terms of fishing mortality, again, total fishing mortality is pretty stable, but you see that pretty obvious difference between the Mid-Atlantic and Georges Bank. So once we get through all of the status and where we are right now, next the plan development team basically takes that information and puts it in a second model called the SAMS model, which is our forecasting model that basically estimates or forecasts what future catches will be based on what we know about the resource right now. We use all the same information, pump it into this other model. This is an area-based model, so it gives us an estimate of catch and fishing mortality by area, which is important for this fishery. And what dictates basically how much effort we can give to each of these different regions is our hybrid overfishing definition that this council adopted in Amendment 15. the hybrid overfishing definition very quickly basically has two overarching principles that dictate how much we can, how much effort we can allow in this fishery. The first potentially constraining factor is that open area fishing mortality cannot exceed the OFL rate of 0.38. So at one step in this process, we see what is available in open areas, and we have to set the open area F no higher than 0.38 is one part of this process. In addition, when you sum up the amount of biomass available in open areas, in addition to closed areas, meaning the EFH and groundfish closures, as well as our scallop access areas, when you combine all those three areas together, you're not allowed to have a total fishing mortality of anything over your 0.28 value. And this is what has a 25% chance of exceeding OFL. So those are the two constraints. In some years, one of them ends up being the dominant one, and in other years, it's the other one. In this particular instance, the first principle is the one that has constrained this model in this particular year. Basically, the biomass in the open areas is the constraining factor for days at sea. Sometimes it's that, and sometimes it's that the overall F can't get over 0.28. So that's really quickly in one bullet how the overfishing definition works. And using those principles, we run the SAMS projections for 13 years into the future and make some estimates and base our allocations on the results. Before getting into the actual allocations, it's important to kind of look back and see how we've been doing. So ACLs have been required in the scallop FMP since 2011, so we don't have a long history to look at, but we do basically have almost two fishing years. So this table is trying to summarize basically how we've done so far. And we have our overfishing level. That's definitely, you know, you can't exceed that. That was what we set by the FMP for the first 2 years of this process post-ACLs. Now, we wrote in here including discards because this has brought up a lot of questions in the last few days as we've been presenting this information. Your overfishing limit has to account for discards. So in this fishery management plan, we have kind of in an obvious way identified how much discards we're talking about in each step. So for this, the columns on the right, discards is in there. As you move across, then you have your ABC. So you have an OFL value, which is looking at the entire resource, no matter whether it's open or closed. That's the metric tons of total biomass right at your 0.38. You move over to ABC, and ABC is basically the difference between those two is what we've called our scientific uncertainty, and that's your overall fishing mortality set at 0.32. That's your difference there. Again, both including discards. We have pulled out the discards in the next column so people can have a better appreciation of their amounts. So at your ABC level, in the past, we had about 4,000 metric tons assumed dead discards from incidental mortality, from small scallops being crushed by the dredge, scallops coming up on deck and going back down and getting crushed on deck and so forth. That's our estimate of discards in the past. The ABC available to the fishery, really all we do is subtract those discards, and that's where we start our specifications. So that column in the middle, that's basically your starting point. And the general category fishery gets a certain percentage of that directly, and then the limited access fishery gets the other part. But just remember that we actually shoot lower with the limited access fishery at an ACT. So without going back in time, that's how it's all set up. The next column is landings, and that's actual landings that the fishery harvested in 2011, the 26,000 metric tons. So you'll see that the fishery was pretty close to your ABC, that limit that we set for the plan. It was actually almost 98% of it. So in terms of keeping the fishery under its ABC, again, after discards are removed, you know, spot on, probably couldn't have ever done better, 2011. 2012 isn't over yet. We do have an assumption in there. If we assume the same thing as I mentioned, it's about 93%. could be higher, could be lower. We'll just have to wait till the end of the fishing year to know how close things were there. So what this is really telling us is the big thing, the big unknown, is we've been setting the limited access fishing effort at ACT. So there's been that buffer that we've been using for these 2 years. And in this case, looking back, it appears that we needed it. We needed some kind of buffer for the uncertainties of our management program in terms of our estimates of their catch per day, primarily, as well as days at sea carryover and any other thing that we just can't pinpoint exactly. We did need a buffer in these instances. We have made some adjustments to the model to gain from what we've learned in the last few years, so I'm sure we're getting closer, but as usual, the industry is appearing to get more efficient each year as well. So that's kind of it in terms of past performance. The only other thing that I've been mentioning with this, because a lot of questions have come up, well, you know, even though we're setting these things lower, our higher catches don't seem to be affecting anything. We're still not overfishing. So I just wanted to add a little bit more information on this slide. Basically, the first bullet is explaining that from the last assessment, the MSY for this resource, this fishery, has been, the catch associated with MSY is roughly 25,000 metric tons. You know, that is where we want to be to optimize yield. This fishery, as you'll see, the last few years has been above that, and the next bullet explains that, you know, since 2003, the average has been above that. So how is that working? How come we're not overfishing? And what we've been discussing at the last few meetings is really, it's been a very good situation that we've been in the last few years, and we've been able to fish above our MSY levels without overfishing because we've had off-the-chart recruitment in the Mid-Atlantic that has helped feed in this well above recruitment has allowed for that additional catch. In addition, the opening of the Georges Bank areas have been this, you know, thing going on in those closed areas that have we've now been kind of pulling from in this reserve. This is not, you know, a normal, typical situation, but those two things together have allowed us to fish at this level above MSY and not run into any problems. But it does appear that, you know, with those areas potentially changing on Georges and the low recruitment we've had in the Mid-Atlantic until very recently, we're kind of at the end of this train. So we need to keep that in mind. I'm sure once that recruitment in the Mid-Atlantic, if it is as strong as it appears to be, we could get back to places where we are right now. But in terms of the immediate future, it does not seem that we would be able to fish above MSY without causing overfishing. Yes?
I just had a question. If we're demonstrating, and it could be a legal issue, I'm just curious, if we're demonstrating that we are underfishing the ABC, 97.6, so, you know, we're leaving 2% of the potential harvest on the table, and maybe this year leaving 7% of the potential harvest on the table, and yet we still maintain the buffer, an overfishing limit of 37 versus what we're allowed to catch 27, granting that some of that is discards in there. Is it possible, if the fishery continues to demonstrate that it underfishes the ABC that we've set, that we could minimize or reduce the buffer between the ABC and the OFL in years where we're concerned about potentially the biomass? So if we're going to reduce what the ABC is, Could we take some of the scallops that we're putting into the buffer right now and give that to the ABC because this fishery has demonstrated that they stay under ABC? Do we need such a big buffer is my right. Long-winded question.
You know, the committee and the council ultimately make that decision about the buffer that you kind of have control over is the buffer between ABC and ACT and where we set the specs on, the level for that. The SSC last week already reviewed the OFL and the ABC, so that buffer is kind of their role, and that was done, and they approved that last week. Arguably, you know, if these values to you are an under-harvest and recommend a smaller buffer between ABC and ACT, that's well within and something that should be justified. I think the plan development team these numbers are pretty close to 100 to us. And, you know, we have made some adjustments to the estimates of catch rates and so forth. But there are still some pretty big uncertainties in terms of additional catch that you would get. And I can explain in some of the later slides the assumptions we make about catch rates per day and everything. We haven't performed very well in our models of estimating actual catch rates per day. And we recognize that, but we've kind of kept what our estimates are telling us, knowing that they're probably under. But to kind of counter that, we've put the fishing mortality right at the level of OFL, right at the max you can do. Arguably, you know, that you might not want to do that all the time, set it right there, because that is uncertain and there's a, you know, there is a chance that that could be exceeded as well. So it's certainly, you know, that's where we have to have these conversations, whether the process that we've been doing is something you're comfortable with or not.
Right.
Tom, and then Dave, Mark.
Thank you. Just as a follow-up to that and doing some sort of back-of-the-envelope estimates, I think it's about 15%, the scientific uncertainty portion of this. And was there a discussion at the SSC about, I mean, given that this is a data-rich stock, I mean, how is that 15% buffer sort of relate to, or how is that size up against some of the other scientific buffers that we use, given that we have four separate surveys and so much data in this fishery? It does seem like we have more certainty here and with the various models.
Yeah, I would say the SSC definitely didn't get into a comparative discussion at their last meeting about this topic. It's not a percentage difference. I mean, that is what the math works out to be, but it is based on a fishing mortality for this FMP. So it's not always, you know, 25% less or something like that. It is based on just the biomass at a certain F. So it's a little bit different, but it is an F. The ABCF basically is a 25% chance of exceeding that OFL. There was, from my impression at the meeting, no discussion of wanting to, or I think people would probably want to see this perform a little bit longer before we make some big changes about these buffers. But it was not really discussed specifically at the SSC meeting. I think there are, especially with discards, which has been coming up in the last few days, there is a lot of uncertainty related to that particular issue, as well as other components of the assessment. But, you know, yes, comparatively, I'm sure it's well ahead of most of them, if not all of them. But it didn't really come up at the SSC.
Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, Deirdre, let's see. I've been focused on groundfish for so long that I'm beginning to confuse the terms, which is not good. We have no ACL with scallops. The ABC is equal to the ACL, correct? All right, which is, anyways. What is the ACT in that recent performance table?
It's on the next
slide. Well, yes. Is it on that particular slide, the ACT? It is not. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Mark, and then
I was just going to ask the same thing.
I can answer it.
Yeah. I think we'll just, Deirdre just has a few more slides, so we'll let her finish up.